This is IJA Chairman Nathan Wakefield calling the meeting to order at 7:33 p.m. Eastern Time. All right, we move to roll call. Nathan Wakefield, I am present. Louis Sirodek?
Present.
Ian Michael Lowen?
Present.
Noel Yee?
Present.
Thank you.
Marvin Ong? Master Ong is absent. Shavela Schwab? Shavela is not present. Scott Kane?
Present.
Thank you, Rudy. Mike Sullivan?
Here.
Mike is here. Afton Benson?
Here.
Thank you, Afton. Aaron Stevens? Aaron is at this juncture not present. Martin Frost?
Here.
Thank you, Martin. Dan Holzman?
Present.
Excellent. Is anyone present on the call whose name I did not call? Moving to approval of agenda. Would someone like to make a motion to approve tonight's agenda?
This is Ian. I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Ian. Do we have a second?
Yes, it's Scott. I'll second.
Beautiful, Scott. Thank you. Any discussion? All right, moving to a vote. Does anybody oppose the approval of tonight's agenda? Any abstentions? Agenda is approved. Moving on to item 4, approval of minutes. Approving the minutes from the last board meeting on December 19th, 2016. Would someone like to make this motion?
This is Ian. I'll make the motion.
Beautiful, Ian. Thank you. Do we have a second?
This is Scott.
Oh, I heard Scott. He just squeaked through there. Well done. All right, moving on to discussion. Moving to a vote. Does anybody oppose the approval of these minutes? Any abstentions? Minutes approved. Moving on to reports. We begin this evening of reports with the financial report from IJ Treasurer Afton Benson. Floor is yours, Afton.
Oh, that's me. There's not too much to super report because I'm waiting to hear back from Jim Maxwell to finalize the 2016 festival numbers. I emailed him this morning. He was supposed to send me the numbers at the end of the week, and that didn't happen. So one thing that did happen is this kind of broke out the El Paso Convention Center items into, like, their buckets. And so I had already gone through and done that on my own, and it has pretty much matched mine. So that looks good. We still have not paid them, and I've asked them to hold off. They took 4 months, 5 months to get us a bill, so I'm sure they'll be patient. But until I get to Maxwell's breakout on what he thought, he did send like an updated email, kind of just saying that all of the additional charges we weren't expecting were supposed to be there, from what I can tell. And a lot of them are in accordance to the stipulations of the grant that they got in El Paso. So in reality, it was like we had to spend, well, at least $8,000 on 7,200 on advertising in order to get that grant. So it wasn't actually like the entire amount because we had to spend money to get it. So yeah, just that front. And then I had emailed the board in regards to the festival budget, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a little bit. So I won't go into like heavy detail there.
All right, great, Afton. I guess that's good news about the grant money, spend money to get a grant. But at least it shed some light on the situation, at the very least.
Yeah.
One thing I did want to mention and maybe get some feedback from you is I've been working with Dennis to get the final figures for the operating budget of the year. He just got something to me. He was CC'd on it, but he just sent it out like an hour or two ago, and it still has some information we need to tweak on it, so I didn't really feel comfortable putting it on the agenda. But I don't know if he kind of wanted to go through that a little bit, maybe. And particularly, I'd be interested in getting your feedback on if Motion F about the e-juggle budget, if you feel that there is a place for that increase.
I will try and get that pulled up here.
I'm sorry.
I emailed it right as I was leaving work.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I'm not going to look at that one.
Yeah, sorry. I'm sorry to put you on the spot, but it kind of came out last minute. That's why I didn't put it for approval on the agenda. We still need to put in some figures for the festival revenue and stuff, and I wanted to talk to Dennis a bit on a few items, but
I'll go through that, but
basically while you're looking at that, I just want to mention to the board that Motion F, there is a motion on here to raise the e-juggle budget from $650 a month to $750 a month, so you know that's going to be $1,200 or maybe $1,100 if we don't do January. That could affect this budget. So keep that in mind with Motion F. Any thoughts on the financial side of things?
This is Scott. Just wishing it, you know, we're 7 months out from the festival. I realize that there's them not billing us for a long time is the main culprit, but I know most of us would like to have last year's fest done by now, but
I'm
very confident that next month we can have not only everything paid, but the P&L approved, and hopefully have Jim on the call as well to actually give us his final report. That's kind of a custom we do for you new board members, is we try to have the previous year's festival director on the call with the final P&L so they can give a final festival report, just kind of a wrap up how it went, how they felt, what went right, what went wrong, explain some of the financial direction, that sort of thing. So hopefully next month we'll have everything done.
Yeah.
And I'd like to be on that call as well, if I could, with Jan.
Oh, of course.
It'll be on our board call.
Yeah, it'll be on the board call. So, yeah, for sure,
good.
Dan. Absolutely.
That sounds like very vital information I could really use right about now.
Yeah, for sure. All right. We can touch base offline, Afton and Dennis, and then I'll send out the operating budget to the board, and it'd probably be best to do that offline as opposed to kind of just haphazardly talk about it, but it's in the right direction
right now, but
yeah. Okay. Any other final discussion on finances? All right, guys, moving right along to 2017 festival report. Dan, give us an update, sir.
Of course. Well, we've submitted our budget, and have you had a chance to look at the budget numbers? Would you like to go over those? Or I have also four issues I need to bring up to the board's attention.
I think it would be wise, because we have the budget as a motion. We can touch on that if you want to, but it'd be better to go over that in detail when we get to the motion, if you're okay staying on the call.
Sure.
So it would probably make the most sense to talk about the four items now in the festival report, then go over the numbers at the motion section.
Sure. First of all, I want to talk about the brunch budget. We have the $25,000, and we've come up with three options to run by our donor, because we don't want to exceed the $25,000. We have a hard cap at $25,000. Now, my preference, I think, this is what I would like to do, would be have the best buffet possible Wednesday through Saturday. So that would be one option. But of course, this has to be approved by the donor. These are all free or fine, whatever he chooses to do, or he or she. So the next option would be, we would have a buffet on Tuesday, but that buffet would be a light Tuesday, like just a continental breakfast. Then Wednesday through Saturday are the full buffet. And then the fifth option, with all the buffets, would be the same. So we spread that $25,000 between Tuesday through Saturday. So we just need to know which option. And if I had my preference, I think, since people are arriving on Tuesday, even though the numbers aren't that much lower, that it makes sense to have a much better buffet the other nights or the other days and try to spread it through the, all 5 days.
Okay.
That's up to the donor.
Did you have you gotten options? Do these numbers check out, Dan?
Well, yeah, we have certain menus that Mike has gotten based on the different numbers. And if it's spread out through the 5 days, obviously it's not quite as impressive as if it's 4 days. And if we do, it's all pretty much relative to what we choose. It's a nice menu, but it's not as good as El Paso if we do all the days. But if we only do we take off 1 day, we can make it nicer on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I think that's a better option, but I'm fine with any option the donor wants to choose since it's such a wonderful, generous donation.
Okay, so I'm going to read off the options here from the notes. I want to make sure these are correct. Option A is Wednesday through Saturday, full buffet, correct?
Well, the most you can get is $25,000. No, so one option would be all the days, Wednesday through Saturday, the same buffet, you know, what we could afford for $25,000. So it would be a lighter buffet. I wouldn't call it a full buffet.
Okay.
It would be a buffet we could afford for $25,000 over one extra day. We take a day off, obviously we could have a nicer buffet.
Tuesday through Saturday, Dan.
Okay, Tuesday through Saturday. I mean, you're going through the options the other direction. I first started with Tuesday.
Right.
So Wednesday through Saturday would be a full buffet. Tuesday would be a light buffet, and Wednesday through Saturday would be a full buffet. Or the full buffet all 5 days, whatever that means given the budget.
Okay, and what is your preference?
I like the best idea of having the best breakfast possible Wednesday through Saturday. So people are really enjoying and not going, oh, these breakfasts seem skimpy compared to last year. But like, wow, these are good breakfasts. But, you know, people, I think, arrive on Tuesday. I mean, I know I do, or that a lot of people come 2 or 3 in the afternoon. And not everybody who's there can participate. But if we go Wednesday through Saturday, we have a nicer buffet. And I feel everybody will be there at that time to take part in it.
Gotcha. Okay. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to communicate these options to the donor and say the festival director prefers option A. Are you okay with this? And we can go from there. Sound good?
Yes. And the festival director is very thankful. And whatever option he decides he wants, I'll be happy to get.
Sounds good.
I would like option A. Unless there's some dissension among the board that they don't think that's the best option.
I'm indifferent. I think it makes sense. What do you think, board members?
Lily, I like that too. Like most people will be coming in on a Tuesday if that's what you think everybody's coming in on. I'd like it to be a little more robust if it can be and stronger those 4 days than stretched out over 5.
Yeah, that's my exact
A light Tuesday, like an evening thing or something, like some sort of food for people who come in might be on the list if they wanted the full 5 days. Maybe not a brunch as much as an evening snack or something.
We could do a continental breakfast, like croissants and orange juice, like a cold buffet on Tuesday. That's the other option. If we want to have something all the days, that might be a good option too. Just something light on Tuesday, and that would stretch our budget a bit more over the other days. So, you know, if you want something every day, I think that's the better option than all 5 the same.
Yeah. I like your order of choices too. I like A, B, and C as far as the order of best choices.
Yeah, but like I say, whatever he wants to, if he goes, no, all 5 the same, then sure, no problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, Dan. So that brings us to the other thing, which is the EWI donation.
Hello?
Which we don't know if it's here, if there's an amount to it. It's not in our budget, and we don't know anybody to contact about that.
I'm sorry, what?
the other money budget. From Unimed, or I forget who gives what.
Oh, Unimed. Yeah, yeah.
Unimed.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So, okay. So, I told you Unimed already confirmed a set amount for prize donation money.
Yes, but that was, I don't know if I put down the numbers, like $2,300 or something like that? Was that the...
It was around that, yeah. And then Una has also confirmed to fund a awesomeness fund, but we don't have...
That's what I don't know. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's not been established yet. We're actually in the process of establishing a committee, and once I have a viable committee, I'll approach Una to get a figure. We'll vote on that committee, put it into place. I'll give them the budget, and it'll go from there. So, but yeah.
Okay, so the budget, the only budget I have to work with is the $2,300 for the, and it's earmarked just for the prize money. For the company.
Correct. Correct.
Okay, no problem. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you. That solves the other issue. And the Awesome Fund is not at my discretion, so I will not worry about that. Can I give them suggestions for what I would like in the Awesome Fund, or is that not?
You can give suggestions, but ultimately it's up to the committee. But yeah, you are welcome to give feedback.
Well, I know they did a DJ before, and that's certainly something we could use this year as well. And other things as well, but I won't overload you with all the different things I'd like.
Sure.
Okay, so that brings us to the next issue, which is the T-shirts opportunity we have at this year's festival. So there's a company that wants to provide our T-shirts for us, which we feel, me and Mike feel, is a very beneficial situation. Since there's no upfront cost from us, we get the more options. There's no leftover product. There's no sizes. They can choose the size. They can upgrade to a nicer shirt. They can do different styles. The design might be simpler than we can offer just in a simple shirt, but we think that the lack of risk and the benefits outweigh the detrimental aspects of the limit of the design. The one sticking point could be, and we haven't really discussed it fully with the company, they might want to be the only company selling apparel. So that could affect a couple of the vendors. So the option we came up with for the vendors is that if we looked at them, we've discovered that most of them, that doesn't affect them. There's a couple. There's one that basically that's primarily their business, and there's others that might be something adjunct to what they normally sell. So those people we could offer a free vending booth to, but they cannot sell apparel. So this is something that needs to be weighed. It's a very beneficial deal, and it might not even be a sticking point if they agree not to enforce it. The question is, if they enforce it, is it a deal breaker for us? Given that we'll try to compensate the other vendors.
To clarify what Dan said, the vendor doesn't want to compete with other vendors for T-shirts, just shirts.
The shirts.
Just shirts. They're fine if people want to sell gym bags, hats, stickers, buttons, prop bags, anything else, with or without festival branding, with or without festival logos. They can do anything they want. The vendor simply wants an exclusive on festival and IJA logo shirts.
So just to be clear here, IJA brand... Go ahead, Martin.
Mike, this is... So we had a couple of exchanged a couple emails, but this sounds different from what I understand. My impression is that none of the vendors ever sell IJA festival shirts.
That's correct.
You know.
Yes.
So, and then they never sell, you know, logo shirts. So, are those the only two types of shirts that this new vendor, you know, on-site, on-demand T-shirt?
They want to sell all the shirts in general.
What?
Yeah,
shirts in general.
They want to be the exclusive supplier of festival and IJA logo branded shirts, and they may optionally design and sell on a non-exclusive basis other shirts with juggling motifs on it, but that's not under restriction.
So wait a minute.
So Mike, you and Dan are saying different things. Dan is saying
they want
a complete hold on all T-shirts and shirt apparel, and
Dan
you're saying only IJA stuff.
All right, I'm going to go through it again, and let's pay attention to the words apparel and the words t-shirt.
Shirts.
The vendor, the...
Do you have a written contract, Mike? Unsigned contract that you're looking at?
Mike, you there? You're not coming through, buddy.
Oh. Well, I can answer this. It's shirts. It's not, I made a mistake by saying apparel. If they want to sell hats, if they want to sell pants. So the word not to ignore is apparel.
Okay, let's make this, yes, we can hear you. Go ahead, Dan. Mike, sorry.
Okay, so once again, the vendor wants an exclusive on selling festival logo and IJA logo t-shirts. Shirts. So that's hoodies, sweatshirts, t-shirts, long sleeve t-shirts, things like that. They may optionally, and without restriction, get a non-exclusive to sell other juggling motif design apparel that they design and sell on their own, but they don't care that other people are selling such things. So, for example, if Ross Berenson or the guys from Three Finger Juggling want to sell gym bags or prop bags with anything on it, they don't care. It's only t-shirts. They want an exclusive on selling t-shirts.
Wait a minute, but you just contradicted yourself.
He didn't. They wanted to be able to sell all the shirts. If someone has something else, it's not festival logo shirts, any shirt with a juggling motif, they want to sell.
Yeah. Correct.
I'm with Martin. Okay.
I may have just misspoke because I was listening to one thing and thinking another. But yes, they want an exclusive on shirts. Shirts.
Okay, so
shirts.
They don't want an exclusive festival shirts. They want an exclusive on shirts. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes, that is correct.
That contradicts what
right.
You're
so saying. Ross Berenson, for an example, who only sells shirts, can't sell shirts.
Correct.
That's why we're asking you if that's a deal breaker. We could provide a free vendor booth for Ross. That's why we're bringing it up to you guys, because it's a great deal, and it's good for us, and it's bad for one of the vendors. We could try to compensate that vendor and offer them something they can sell something else, or somehow
but
they can take orders and not sell them at the site. But we just want to know if that would be the deal breaker. That if they're the only ones who can sell shirts with any kind of juggling motifs, people can sell bags or hats or buttons, of course props, anything else. They want the franchise on the shirt business at the festival.
Correct.
Okay, so let me just say this. Let's stop talking about bags and other things. We're only talking about shirts here. So no need to mention that people can sell other things. Okay, we accept that. Now, on the shirts, Mike, why did you say he wants an exclusive on festival shirts and IJ logo shirts? That was apparently a mistake when you said it. Why did you say that?
Yes. Well, I did make a mistake because I was trying to introduce the idea that they may create other designs of juggling motifs that they also want an exclusive on as regarding shirts only.
Are they also planning on creating some IJA logo shirts as part of this?
Yes. That's the deal, is that they do 5 designs for us that are official IJA logo shirts that we participate in the profits with. The other shirts that they decided to do that aren't IJA shirts with juggling motifs that they sell, we will not. Is that the case, Michael? I don't want to misspeak.
No, we'll get a cut of all profits of
all shirts.
Of their merchandise at the festival. We'll get a cut of all sales.
I do feel bad for that one vendor, but that's all. I mean, it doesn't really do much good to offer them a free vending if that's all that they sell.
Well, the other thing is we can tell them about it now and they can decide not to vend this year. And, I think we have to look at what's best for the members and the association instead of...
And we can offer them a free vending pass to come the next year. I mean, we want to try to weigh the good of everybody and not piss off somebody, but it's sort of a good deal for the entire festival.
So can we get some more details about the good deal as far as...
Sure.
You said, there'd be no leftovers. So does that mean everyone has to order their shirts ahead of time with sizes? Or
that's right.
That, But what if
that's wrong. They can pick them up at the festival and have them made right then, right?
Correct.
Okay, so Mike again contradicts himself. Okay, 2 for 2. You don't have to.
No,
you can,
I didn't.
You can, yes, you did. You said you have to order in advance.
So, for example, if we did this year, it would be different than in the past where we had to ask people what size shirt they want. This year, if they buy a festival package and we do this deal, they simply get a voucher in their packet, and they take that voucher to the Fine Designs booth, and Fine Designs says, great, here's your choices. You can get the standard festival shirt at no charge. You've already paid for it as part of your package. Or if you'd like to, for an upcharge, you could get a hoodie, a sweatshirt, a dry fit shirt, a long sleeve, a lady's cut, etc. And the juggler has the option. And those items are produced on demand while the juggler is there to their size and in their color and on their type of shirt.
Okay. And I have talked with David Kane, and the idea is we're going to produce 5 sort of classic juggler images, like Brunn, Rastelli, Ignatoff, Gatto. We're seeing which ones we can get the rights for and get the permission. But we can offer 5 different designs, and they can, and the standard shirt comes with the deal, like Mike was saying. But now they can choose from 5 different shirts in different styles. There's no leftovers or waste.
And all of those styles, all of those designs, those 5 designs, would be free on a regular shirt, right?
Yes, those would be the IGA official shirts that would come with your package. You could choose any of those 5 as your shirt that would come with your ticket that came with your festival package price. So you'd have 5 choices. If you want an upgrade, that's something that you'd have to charge extra money for if you want a polo, like Mike was saying, all these different choices. But there will be a standard shirt that you get with your package, but you can choose your size, you can choose the different designs, and we won't have 100 smalls or 100 larges or left over. And if someone doesn't like the T-shirt, there's 4 other ones they can choose from. So it's a really, I think, very sensible choice. It does affect one vendor, and we'd like to make sure that that vendor is told way ahead of time and is compensated in a way that we say, look, we're sorry this is the way it worked out. We'd love you to come next year for free or sell something else, and we'll give you a free booth or whatever we can do, whatever you guys feel is appropriate.
Isn't the part of the idea, though, that if this works, he won't be able to do it? You know, like, if this works, and
sure,
it's a thing that works for the thing, then him coming next year, giving him a free table next year, we'll be like, okay, it'll be the next year you could...
That's an example. That's an example. All I'm saying is we're weighing the benefits of this program versus the inconvenience of one vendor, which I don't... You know, like I'm saying, that's an unfortunate drawback. We're trying to fight and say, no, we don't want to do that. We have one guy. Can't we let this guy do it? If it is a breaking point, this is a deal breaker, so we want to go to the board and say, okay, if you guys decide once again that, no, this fella is very important. I don't know who he is. I don't have experience with him. We will not do this to this one fellow. The board has decided this is a deal breaker. Then I will, once again, go to your wishes. My suggestion and what I would do is go with this deal.
Is there any way to talk to people making the deal with where we can get our one person in or have...
That's what we're trying to do. I mean, we say it's a very small part of our overall business.
Yeah.
It's a tiny thing, but...
They might not get it.
So this
is... That's their deal. That's their business model.
Yeah.
I have a few questions, guys. Okay. I'm going to say the questions, then you can answer them. So, first of all, if a juggler were to show up at the festival, they didn't pre-register, but they just showed up, bought a day pass, and approached this T-shirt vendor and said, I would like to buy this T-shirt. I like this design, this size, and I want it in this cut. What would the lead time be from the time they communicated this to the vendor to the time where they had it in their hands? That's question number one. 5 to 10 minutes?
Yeah. They bring it.
Wow. It's instantaneous. They do it on site.
Yeah.
They have the stock with them.
I understand it was done on site. I just wasn't sure if it was like, you know, a day, 2 days. Anyways, okay. That's fair. Okay, second question. So you said they're going to have multiple designs. Does that mean you're not planning on having an official festival design. You're having
That could be that could be an option. That here's our official design. We can give them one choice if we want.
Or are you planning on having an official design as a default and then having multiple options as alternates? Or is there going to be no default, I guess, is what I'm asking.
I would say I have not fully explored that until we have the deal in place. I mean, that's certainly an option.
Well, let's say, let's say we went with Dan's idea of having, you know, silkscreen images of these iconic classic juggling heroes. And we said, you can choose any one of these as your official festival t-shirt that's included with your package. And if you'd like to collect the whole set, you can buy the other three or the other four.
Yeah, I envision kind of a template with sort of the IJ logo and the background or whatever we're going to use, and they can choose five different images for the festival shirt. So there will be some kind of a unity between the shirts and the official line of IJ shirts, but all five will be different. If we want to have one official one, we could do that. I mean, the options are pretty...
I was just curious.
Oh, no,
but
no.
Okay, that...
Hasn't been written in stone at all. No. No,
quick suggestion, if you're trying to boost sales, I would say have one official shirt that's like the official shirt, and then you have these extra bonuses shirt also available, so people always want to get the official one because they feel like it, you know, they've been collecting them for years, and then there's all these extra ones they can get.
I have an image actually in mind that I thought would be sort of the one I would see would be the iconic image that I would want to be the main image, so... That fits very well into what I sort of see as the strategy I'd like to employ.
Dan and I have talked about it. We don't want to tip our hand yet, but it would literally be an iconic image for this year's festival if we can get the rights for it.
Cool. Yeah, just make sure you get the rights, but I'm all for that. And I did one more comment, and then we can finish off this particular topic. You know, we seem to be focusing a lot on Ross Berenson, but we have to keep in mind too is, again, I'm not expressing hard opposition. I'm just saying we need to keep in mind that this doesn't just affect a sole t-shirt vendor. There's a lot of vendors that sell t-shirts as part of their vending. There's three-finger juggling. I know Gregory Poche sells G-Ball shirts. I believe Cheryl sells Sport Co. So we'd have to make it clear to all the vendors that none of them can sell shirts, and I think this would affect
Or one option would be say, look, we know this is part of your business, with that the fact that, you know, you sell shirts, we can offer you free vendor tables. We can, you know, we can kind of compensate you for it. And, I mean, you know, to have a free table is a nice thing, and I don't know what part of the business this is or how many shirts like a Cheryl would sell.
Right.
I don't know if that's a big, number or a deal breaker.
Part of any of their business.
Right.
Because we kind of looked at that, and he was the only name where it really was the big, like, no, that's, everyone else was like, yeah, they sell a couple of line shirts, or, you know, it's not a big thing, a part of their business that we see.
Right.
Does Ross Berenson sell almost exclusively shirts?
Yes.
Does he sell other stuff? He just sells shirts.
To my knowledge, just shirts.
Okay.
Yeah, and he may not even vend. It's just one of those things. If we make it really clear to every vendor, then this will be just fine. We just have to be really clear about it up front.
I just want to let me just finish my thought here. That you can't really offer him next year a free, you know, vendor package or whatever, because we may well use the same.
That was an example of something we could offer him as a token of our esteem. It could be a free membership.
Let me
be a lifetime membership.
Let me finish, please, Dan.
I'm sorry.
Let me finish, please.
Please.
I exchanged a couple of emails with Mike, and he's saying that, you know, this company may be able to come to all of our festivals to make sure it's next year. I mean, I don't know if there's a place near Springfield, but if there is, maybe that's, you know, we would have the same T-shirt vendor making shirts on site again. I think it's a good idea. It does basically get us out of the retail business of dealing with shirts. It does mean that, you know, we have to tell vendors not to sell shirts. But on the other hand, maybe we can tell this vendor that sells these fine designs, I think they're called, that they're going to sell 300 or whatever the number is that we typically sell, packages and whatnot. They're going to sell 300 shirts. Do they really care if these other vendors sell maybe, you know, 50 shirts or something total? That's probably an exaggeration. do they really care? Because the other vendors, aside from Ross Berenson, sell props mostly. So I'm just wondering if we can get the non-T-shirt vendors, the sort of general prop vendors, to allow them to sell shirts. But again, anyway, I think it's a good deal. And I think also we should have just a prime festival T-shirt design. But I also think for sure we should sell an IGA logo shirt as one of the options, one of the extra designs, because we've had people buy those in the past and we don't have any. Okay.
My perspective aligns with Martin. Yeah, I'm with Martin on that. Any final thoughts on T-shirts, guys? I want to move along here.
Sure. I think we've discussed that quite a bit.
All right. What else you got, Dan?
Okay. All right. So now probably on to something else that we need to discuss is sort of the early bird options for the pricing. So if you would like to, I have a couple of options that I'd like to offer for the price. Okay, so the first one would be, it's $199, which is our early bird price. And if they buy the $50 package, which is the four extra shows that come with the lanyard that offers you access to the festival and all the shows, that we would throw in a free IGA membership, would be the first level of early bird. Then the next level would be the same offer, $199 plus we'd offer the package for $50, but the membership would not be on the table. Only for the first week would we throw in a free renewal, or if you're a new member, a free membership to the IGA. So the next level is that it's now $249, which is the price it jumps up to normally, but you get these five tickets. So there's no $199 option left, but for your $249, we give you the $50 in tickets. But there's no $199 option left. And then the last part would be the $249, but we don't give you the $50 tickets. Those are extra. So the top price you could pay would be $309. But we offer people $199. And if they want to buy these extra show tickets, it would actually be like a $20 value. Because we're creating money that doesn't exist in the early bird. So it's not like losing money on the membership. So they get this whole package of $50 to get the shows and the membership for this extra $50. Because we want to push a couple of things. We want to push people to register early and to buy the tickets, this whole package, and I imagine to feel as if they have a chance to go to the festival without having to pay for the IGA membership. Because for me personally, that's always been kind of a sticking point that I did not like, that I had to be a member to go to the festival. You know,
Dan,
that I had to buy a membership.
I have a question and a comment.
Sure.
The comment is free membership isn't much value to the life members, of which we have a couple hundred and, you know, I don't know, maybe a third of our attending members are life members. I don't know what the actual number is, but a lot of attendees are life members. So
it's just an extra offer.
What?
I mean, they would not take advantage of it, but they would still get the early bird pricing of $199. And we could give them a discount if they're life members. We could take that price off the ticket price if we choose.
So I don't understand.
Go ahead, Lauren.
I don't understand what the things that you just listed are. Are those the different sales prices you're proposing as a set of different package options for different time periods, or were those different ideas that the board might consider using? I'm not sure what...
Those are, like you said, the second option. They're a different set of time periods. We're offering the first one as an early bird, then the offer switches to this next offer, and then the next offer, then the final offer.
How many time periods, then?
Sure.
How many time periods?
There's four.
So very confusing right now.
Okay.
I think I can say... If you sign up the first week, you have two options really. You have $199, which includes the free membership if you're not a life member.
No, I'm sorry. Let me explain it one more time. So if you sign up for the first week, right, you could pay $199 and get the membership to the IJ. You have to renew your membership or be a member to go to the festival. But if you buy this $50 package, we will throw in that price if you need that. If you have to renew or be a new member, you're not a member, we want you to join, we want to encourage you to join. Say, look, it's $30 to join. We also want to push these packages. So if you buy this $50 package, we will throw in the membership for free. If you don't buy the package, you don't get the membership for free. The only thing you get for free with the membership is if you buy the package in addition to this early bird available for this first week.
Okay, so the first week you'd have $199 for the normal fest, or $249 for the full blown thing, and a perk of that is the free membership. That's in the first
exactly.
week. You have those exactly. two options the first week. A week after that, you have still the $199 or the $249, but the membership's gone.
Exactly.
The third tier is $249. Is really it, but you get all the big one, but the $199 is gone.
Exactly. We don't offer that anymore, that you have to buy through this whole package. But instead of just being a more expensive thing, like we jumped it up $50, you... I guess Rudy Horn left. So, and then the last option is that you get the $249, you don't get these tickets. If you want to buy the extra tickets, it's the extra $50. So then it costs you $309.
So here's a question.
Sure.
I have a question about week one, Dan, regarding the free membership. If someone is already a member, maybe not a life member, but a member with like a year or two left on their membership, would this tier, would it subtract the membership, nullify the perk, or compound the membership on top of their existing membership?
I think it's the kind of details that the IJA, because they might want to throw in a free membership for international members. To me, this is a way to try to encourage this idea that I would like not to have anybody have to buy a membership to attend the festival, personally. So my one thing is I'd like to have a chance to go and not have to pay for the membership. So this is a very sort of innocuous way of doing it, and also pushing this $50 package and making a really good deal. Like, if you do need to renew your membership, then you can get this for $20. If they're a life member, maybe we just give them the bonus. We say, you're a life member, it's only $20 for you because you're already a member, a life member. So the smaller details I think we can work out. It's this idea of, do we want to sort of try something like this in this first week where we include something with the membership as part of the early bird package?
This is Scott. I'm okay with that. I mean, I'm a life member. It's not going to benefit me, but if it pulls some people in...
I wouldn't give it to life members. I would just feel like they get it. Like, okay, yeah, no, we want to bring in new members, we want to try to raise money, we want to encourage people to renew and not feel like they have to, like we're giving them something for that.
I agree.
I'm not against this, I just think we need to define the details and establish a process for how we're going to manage this with registration and membership.
Yeah, there are some logistics involved, definitely.
I agree.
I think tier, you kept saying 249 plus 50. I don't think that's 309.
That's 299.
I'm sorry. That's okay. I don't have it in front of me. That's 299. You're exactly right.
Very good. Thank you.
But it is. So now it's the full 249. Like they always, you know, they always jump to before, and then they still have the option. They can attend the festival. Go. I don't have much money. 249. I'm tapped. I'm just going to buy one of those tickets. I want to see that one $10 show. They don't have to buy that at all. It's still optional. But if they want to buy the whole thing, they have to pay an extra $50 to get that lanyard. The only way you get the lanyard that gets you into the festival, into the shows, is by buying the package. But you can buy individual tickets, you know, for any one of the shows. So if it costs $249, he might not want to buy no extra tickets, or just for the Peter Davidson show. So he's just paying $259. You can put it that way.
What do you envision the time period? I'm sorry, go ahead, Martin, you got this.
Okay, a couple of comments. I think 1 week is really short. You're going to...
You know, I think like those things can be modified based on the experiences of the people who can kind of figure out how this go best, like the time periods. I'm not... It could be 2 weeks, a month, whatever the registration people feel is the optimal time to do these kind of things, I'm totally fine with.
Okay. But you still want to have two different early bird pricing for people who get the, let's see, I've already lost track. They don't,
it's the same,
doesn't get the free membership?
It's basically the same deal. It's just like, hey, for this first week, if you have to renew, we want you to sign up now because you'll get the membership for free. If you've never been a member, sign up this first week, you get the membership for free. If you buy this package.
So you're saying that people who sign up in the first week get a free membership. People who sign up in the second week.
Only if they buy the package.
I understand.
If they buy the $199.
We're only talking about the package, okay? I'm only talking about the package. People who sign up the first week get a free membership. People who sign up the second week don't get the membership. What do they get over the people who sign up the third week?
Okay. So the price jumps up the third week where there's no $199 option left. Like they have to buy the $249 option.
Okay. Let me explain that. See if I got
sure.
it. The third week, they have to buy the $50 package to get registered.
Right. Like I say, normally it would just jump up to $249 and you get nothing extra. It's just that's the price jump. So now we're saying, okay, it jumps up, but we're going to include these tickets. So it's another advantage if you buy it then. It's like, okay, I get this. I wanted to buy $199. I wanted to buy the package.
Okay, I'm trying to look at this from the buyer's perspective, not from
sure.
your perspective of selling. And the buyer's perspective says, okay, the first week I can buy the $199 or I can buy the $249 and get a free membership.
Mm-hmm.
The second week, see, I've already...
Sure. It's the same. The membership
let
off
me,
the table.
Let me make
it's just off
the
table.
Table or a little graph
the second week.
The breakdown Dan has in mind.
Because the idea, Martin, is just to push the membership. It there's no extra advantage except for we're saying, hey, we want to give you a free membership. We want to renew your membership. We want to push these packages. So if you buy in this first week and you buy the whole thing,
okay,
we'll figure out some way to...
Please let me try to explain it. If I can't explain it,
okay.
then I haven't understood it.
Okay, please.
So the first week, you can buy $199 or you can buy $249 and get a free membership plus the shows. Second
yes.
week, you can buy $199 or you can buy $249, but you don't get a free membership.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
The third week, you can't buy anything except the $249 package price and you don't get the free membership.
Yes.
Is that right? Okay.
Yes.
So, if people want the $199 cheapest price, they have to buy the first week, and we'll talk about later whether that's 1 or 2 weeks or whatever. But the first session, first group, first time period, they have to use that time period to buy the thing for $199. That's the cheapest price. They don't get the shows. They don't get the extra shows. And
they can buy the $199 for the first two options. The only thing that changes is the first two are basically the same. All we're saying is, hey, if you buy it really quickly, we want to give you a free membership, or we want to, renew your membership or itemize it so the next time you go to renew it, you don't have to, as a way to come to the festival without having to pay extra. Because normally it's $199, right, plus $30 for your membership. So it costs you $229 to go to the festival.
You're over-explaining, Dan. Dan, just give us
what?
The details. I'm sorry, but you're over-explaining things that we
sure.
understand. We know what membership costs and so forth. So,
yeah.
Okay, so they can. So the $199 and $249 prices are both available the first 2 weeks, right?
Yes.
But the second week, it doesn't. The $249 doesn't include membership. Is that right?
Yes.
That's the only difference between the first week and the second week. So the membership
I mean, whatever time period we decide it to be. If it's,
Okay. Later. I'm trying to minimize the discussion here. So the third week, the only thing available is the $249, and you don't get membership, but you get the full package.
Yes.
If you go to the festival, if you buy this at the festival, it goes up to $249 plus as many individual tickets as you want, $10 tickets as you want to buy. Is that right?
Or you buy the $50 package, and they cost you $299.
That's what I said. You buy all of them.
Yeah. But you don't have to. I mean, you could buy them individually, like Martin said. But it is available. I mean, it is available.
Yeah. So there's four time periods. So previously you only had two, and now you have four, which seems a little excessive, but we can deal with that.
I make the first period the same and just say the price is the same. But the only difference is, hey, you act quickly, we do the membership deal.
Okay, for anybody that's looking at the agenda on Google Docs, I'm pasting in a truth table here that might help, and I think this is correct from what Dan has talked about.
Ah, that's fun.
Yeah, I'm sorry I didn't prepare this. I got caught in traffic.
Why don't we leave that in the agenda, and we can discuss it over the next week or two. We're not ready to open registration because the website's not ready, so it's nothing we have to decide on tonight.
The website's not ready?
And just to clarify, that's not going to affect the budget and how you have it written currently? If you change up the pricing?
No, the only thing it changes is the membership. I mean, we sort of assume that this number is sort of built into the amount of budget or income we're getting from the registration.
I am still concerned about the snub at Life Members that this offer makes. And I know you said, well, we could discount the Life Member price by $30. And, you know, something like that would probably be reasonable, even though that complicates things a little further.
I guess I'm very open to many ideas like, hey, new membership for first-timers or a free membership for international members. Just some sort of offer from the IGA in this first early bird session to encourage both buying of the package and renewing or becoming members in a way that's sort of a gift from us.
Yeah, I think the people who might be first time attendees, they're not likely to even hear about this in time to get the early bird package. Because they're not members currently, they're not following us, they're not getting the newsletter, and they're not going to hear about this. I mean, you know, maybe some of those people will, but the people who buy the early bird package are the people who come every year. And they, you know, as soon as it comes out, they buy it and get the best price. I agree. I mean, it would be nice to be able to draw in some new members this way. The idea of having the, you know, free membership for non-U.S. members is, you know, might be a nice deal. So
if this overcomplicates things and it doesn't seem to make sense as part of the early bird offering, it's fine because it doesn't really change my budget. It doesn't sort of make me more money. It actually sort of takes away some of the money that I earn from these extra shows. I guess I'm always just trying to say that I feel having to buy a membership or having to be a member to attend the festival. So if I'm not a member and I go, it's $199, oh, I have to be a member too? Do I want to? Well, you have to. Well, then it's $229 and maybe I join something that I don't want to, but I have to go to the festival. In my mind, I don't like that concept. So I'm trying to come up with some kind of compromise where somehow I offer something that you can get a membership renewed or some kind of benefit for being a Life member. I'm trying to kind of create something where we kind of grow membership or encourage new members as part of the festival idea.
I don't have to include that idea. You know, I can sort of simply just keep it purely the price differences and not include anything with the IJ membership. If the board feels that's too complicated or doesn't fit into the agenda that they want to have at this festival.
I mean, I think it's a nice idea to try to get people to become members. I'm just not quite sure it's gonna have that effect.
Maybe we could have a discussion and figure out the best way to come up with this option. Maybe this isn't the option that would achieve this goal in the best way. I mean, I'm one person trying to think of this one idea. If we open up to the whole group, and we can come up with the best way to sort of let people be able to feel like they don't have to buy a membership to come join us, that we're encouraging international members to join us by giving them a free membership, by giving some kind of benefit to our life members. Like, hey, you're a life member, you want this extra package, we'll take out $25 because we appreciate you. I mean, so the sort of the we can work out the finer details, and it could change and morph from this one idea. But I think the idea itself has a lot of validity. We should maybe discuss at a later time, or I could put this into a much clearer, concise thing you can look at in words on paper.
Yeah, Dan,
the idea is valid.
How about we do this? You and Mike can kind of put this together. Really, I liked Mike's table. That was good. But then also maybe include some accompanying text reflecting the philosophy behind this. We can bounce back and forth some concerns and maybe establish a process. I'm not against the idea, but I think it could be, you know, a little harder to implement than it might seem. But, yeah, let's take this offline. We'll have a positive discussion and see what we can do.
Sounds great.
Yeah, good. Is there anything else for the festival side of things, Dan?
Well, I mean, we have the budget in front of you. If there's any questions on any particular budget items, I have so many different things I'm working on. So,
okay.
Today was very nice, is that the Cedar Rapids Library is going to hire two jugglers to perform at the library and pay them, so it'll be a $500 total fee. And so they'll pay us to promote our shows at the library.
Sweet.
Oh,
that was a pretty nice deal to make.
Yeah. That's awesome. Good work. Yeah, we can touch upon the budget when we get to that item on the agenda, but I think we're good for that. So with that, we're going to move right along to future festival site planning with Mike Sullivan.
Okay,
Nathan,
thank you, Nathan.
I actually have to get off the call. I'm sorry. If anyone has any questions in regards to the festival budget, you can see the notes that I sent back and Mike answered them.
Okay.
Yeah, just send me an email or shoot me a text, okay?
Thank you for your time, Afton.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
All right, Mike, the floor is yours, sir.
Well, thanks. I put a brief report in the agenda. There's not much more beyond that other than late today I had a nice call with Peoria, and we're going to move ahead with a site visit with them March 1st, 2nd, 3rd. I have a site visit with Fort Wayne, Indiana, which also looks very, very promising in the beginning of next week, or actually the end of next week. So other than that, we've eliminated Baton Rouge, and my two hot prospects right now are Fort Wayne and Peoria. And I hope soon to have a proposal from El Paso for 2020.
Okay. Any comments, board members? Questions, comments, board?
Too bad Louisiana didn't work out. That would have been a fun place to have it, the Baton Rouge action. But, yeah, I don't want our members to feel they're getting substandard housing or anything like that or having to commute.
Well, the funny thing was, on the last night I was there, I managed to hook up with the Baton Rouge Fire Guild, which is a bunch of flow and fire jugglers there.
Awesome.
Yeah, they were literally performing right out in front of my hotel window on the riverfront.
Nice.
But anyway.
Sweet.
funnily enough, three of the four people I met worked in the hotels and convention center that we were dealing with, and they told me in so many words, don't have a convention here.
Wow.
Especially in the middle of July. So I guess that kind of reinforced what I had already decided.
Great.
This is Noel. I just didn't know if you're feeling a way out. I'm a huge fan of Peoria, I must say. I see some of the pluses and minuses here, but it doesn't seem like that many minuses. And Peoria, I know for sure, has a small juggling club, and it also has like a flow jam that brings in over 500 people. So I think that would be a good location to continue to really, really pursue. It's very close to Chicago and many other places, so in between Minneapolis. So I don't know. I like that place.
If you have any contact info for people I can reach out to there in Peoria, Noel, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, I do. What kind of contacts are you looking for?
Well, jugglers or flow people or anybody that would be into the variety arts.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I'll send you an email during this meeting right now just with a couple of emails that you can follow up with. Okay.
Thank you.
Excellent. Very nice, guys. All right, any more discussion on future festival sites? All right, moving along to the website report. Just a quick update on that. So, we talked to Scott during our vision planning meeting. I think we're on a better track right now. There's still a few communication issues, but we're working on some troubleshooting options now, and hopefully we'll have that resolved soon. Do you have anything you want to say, Martin?
No, I mean, I flip between optimistic and pessimistic.
Yeah. I know the feeling. I can't imagine frustration.
We're not getting anywhere, and every now and then Scott says he's going to do something, and then it doesn't do it. So I'm not very happy right now.
Yeah. But we have a few options. We'll see where that goes. All right, moving along
just to clarify for those not on the
yeah.
board, that's not Scott K.
Yeah, that's Scott K. He's really dropped the ball this time with that website. Yeah, Scott Reynolds from the Get Smart Group. He's a vendor, yeah.
Yeah, if I'm doing your website, then you're really in bad shape.
Oh, goodness. All right.
Good comment.
Yeah.
All right, speaking of Scott, we have an e-juggle report next on the agenda by Scott Setzler from e-juggle. It's attached there if you want to give it a look.
That's Seltzer.
I'm terrible at pronouncing names. Seltzer. All right, any discussion on e-juggle? All right, moving right along to membership. The numbers are there. Any questions? Comments?
So it's just rough. I mean, just doing those numbers, it's about 100 people a year for the last 6-7 years that we've lost membership. Don't know what... I mean, obviously that's not... We're not going up right now.
Well, you know, this is Scott. I mean, if you don't come to the festival, you know, there's not a whole lot of benefit to joining. First, I mean, really, you know, most of the content on eJuggle is free. I think we're moving towards trying to do, you know, putting some members only content. I know is going to be coming out this year, but you know, I think Dan's comment about trying to do something the more I think about it, in the 70th year, it might be neat. It might be good to do something out of the box. Of okay, everyone who comes to the festival, who registers for the festival, gets a free membership for a year. I mean,
that'd be my first choice.
I mean, you know, we have to talk around it some more, but, you know, it's, that's out of the box, and maybe we say, oh, we're going to lose a lot of money on that, but, you know, if it's only 150 people that aren't already Life members that do that, yet it creates members long term, you know, maybe there's some benefit to that. Or maybe just re-looking at the model and the membership model in general. Because without the magazine, people that don't come to the convention don't have to the festival don't have a whole lot of reason to join.
Yeah, this is definitely.
But giving everybody who comes. Giving everybody a free membership who just comes to the festival doesn't help because they're the same people. They've already been paying for membership, so that's not going to increase our membership.
Yeah, I mean, let's say we have something at Peoria in 2 years, and there's 500 flow people, and we have some additional flow stuff, and maybe 300 of those people are like, well, yeah, I'll come. Hey, it doesn't put me back anything as far as, you know, I'm not really a juggler, but, you know, hey, you know, I don't know. It just,
I think it depends how you want to drive up membership numbers. If you went on, you know, all jugglers and magicians on Facebook and said, hey, IJ membership was free. Footbag used to be $1. Like, if you wanted the magazine, it was extra, but membership was $1. So the idea is, like, right now we have members at 1,200, and I'm trying to sell a festival, and we're worried about getting 350 people. So all I'm saying is I could try to work some kind of idea of how do we increase membership into the festival plan if the IGA board is under the agenda of how can we use this festival to help increase membership as well as serve other purposes. I don't need to include that. I mean, it doesn't help my budget or it complicates things like you're saying. I'm just sensing, like Scott is, or the membership numbers, that this is not a sustainable model. That, you know, in a couple more years, you might not have enough budget to do a festival. I'm creating these five extra shows and bringing in extra money so I can create the kind of festival I want to create. But the budget that you have, if it gets lower and lower every year, you can offer less and less every year. And if you go to Cedar Rapids and Huntsville and El Paso, these towns that are sort of not draws, I just don't think this is sustainable. So like I was telling Nathan before, that I think we can work some kind of agenda into this festival to sort of change the direction of the festival to try to increase membership. If the IGA board wants to include that as part of their agenda, if not, I'll just focus on the nuts and bolts of the numbers and not have the free membership in the early bird or something like that. That was my way to try to give someone a benefit of why should I feel good about the IGA or coming to the festival. Hey, the first week you buy this thing, we'll give you a membership. But I don't know how it affects the bottom line overall, you know, over the course of the whole organization. So that's up to you guys to discuss. Is everybody quiet? Did they shut down the room? What happened?
All right, guys.
Yeah,
we're getting a little off topic here. We could go on this more and more. Like I said, Dan, send your tears over in an email, and board members, if you want to discuss this further, there's already a thread on this on Board Plus, so we can have our thoughts there. Moving along to video tutorial contest report, Tom Wall is kind enough to submit a report with how this year's, or last year's as it may be, video tutorial contest went. Any discussion here?
It looks like that's moving along fine, which is great.
We have some really healthy numbers.
Yeah, that's
really healthy.
Yes, exactly.
For sure.
Hi guys, this is Erin. I'm here. Sorry for my tardiness.
Hello.
One thing, one thing that was cool to see was just how much our social media platforms have jumped ahead leaps and bounds, and it just was very evident with this whole video tutorial contest and the response that was received through social media regarding it compared to like 2 years ago when me and Tom had done it. So pretty cool.
Very good. All right. Moving along to marketing with Aaron Stevens.
Yes. Cool. I didn't write much down, just the numbers and the increases. I was like watching today Instagram. I was like, come on, get up to 700. We were like at 698, so I adjusted it like 2 minutes ago. But yeah, numbers are looking good. I've been a little slower with marketing in general because of my new job kicking my butt this last month. But getting back on track now, which is great, and getting, for example, we're needing to promote the IRCs very quickly. And so I've been building out the web pages for those. And the Israeli and Guatemalan IRCs have built out their designs. So we're about ready to launch marketing plans for those. And yeah, I wrote this down, but just a cool little thing that happened this last week that I told Nathan Wakefield about. People Are Awesome, which is an online like video thing. Do people know what that is?
Yeah.
In general.
Yeah, they did one on my friend, Allie the Hooper.
Nice. Yeah, so they featured me like 2 years ago or something, and then randomly like I got an email the other day saying, hey, we're expanding our content this coming year, and I'd like to talk to you about doing some special featured content with us. Do you have an availability to talk this week? And so we had a meeting last Wednesday, and it went super well, and not only just for me personally, there was some cool opportunities, but then I also brought up that I work with the IJA and that I organize juggling competitions all over the world with some of the top jugglers from around the world, and I was like, so perhaps there's collaboration opportunities there, and the guy got super excited and was like, that's totally the direction we want to be going, where we're actually like highlighting an entire community of talent and not just individuals. And so that's like a huge opportunity if things go well, because they have a reach of like, I guess, followers of 10 million people on Facebook and tons on YouTube and tons on Instagram. So that was exciting.
Great work, Aaron Stevens. Any discussion or comments, questions on marketing?
Yeah, this is Scott. When we do the invites on Facebook for the IJ Festival, is there any way to reach out and invite people that aren't currently members or that aren't, people that have liked the page or anything? Like Dan said, if you go to between Juggling Rock, Juggling and Magician, there's all these different Facebook groups that have 5,000 or 3,000 jugglers on it. It'd be nice to reach out and invite all those people once we do have everything together for the IJ Fest.
Yeah, definitely. Right. And I've done extensive marketing stuff in the past years, and I had let Dan know kind of that my time's going to be limited this year for doing actual festival marketing. And so he and I had kind of, I passed the festival page on to him to kind of manage that, helping out where I can and with like actual marketing plans, like if we want to do any ads or anything like that. But in general, it's like all of us, if we all go out and invite all of our friends, like now there's a max. I used to be able to invite all 5,000 friends of mine or whatever. But now each person can only invite like, I think it's 500 max or something. But right now there's only 324 people invited. So say if all of the board members go out and invite all of their friends on Facebook, the juggling friends, and then promote the page more on our actual social media platforms. I've just kind of been holding off because I'm hoping we're making progress with graphics and such like that, like what our actual festival graphics are going to be. Kevin Axel reached out to me and was like, Aaron, I want to do flow promotion in the flow theme, but I don't want to do it while there's this old-timey picture. It has to be more cool than that. And I was like, cool, yeah. I think me and Dan just need to check in about where graphics are at, where we're going with that aspect, and then really launch into a bigger campaign for the event page.
That's nice.
Yeah, so board members, homework. As soon as graphics and everything are live and the Facebook page is looking slick, invite all your friends. Tell them it'll be great.
Yes. And I think that's one thing, like, just in general, that the board can come together more on, and something I've always kind of hoped and encouraged in the past and haven't really talked to the board about this year, but is like for the IRCs or for a video tutorial contest or anything, like, we are our network right now. Like, the board is where the network starts, you know, and so if we get on and share something announcing an IRC, then more people are going to know about it, more people are going to know it's happening, they're going to get more excited about it and start following it. And same thing with the festival, or same thing with World Juggling Day, and, you know, same thing with liking posts or sharing them or whatever. Like, the more we can do internally, the stronger our platform becomes and the more reach it has. So if any way y'all want to support that, it's always awesome.
I say bravo to Aaron, because I agree completely. I think we all need to sort of like more stuff, put out more, you know, positive information about the festival and stuff like that. I feel I'm doing a lot, you know, and I don't know if I feel I was getting as much support from others, even in these social media, like on Facebook and stuff. I know other jugglers have kind of come to my support and come to my aid and you know, said... but maybe, like Aaron's saying, I didn't really realize how the invitations were put out, or if we could do like a mass mailing to all our members or things of that nature. But hearing that we all need to individually invite our personal friends, I think it would be a wonderful project for all of us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly will go off this call and invite all my friends.
Awesome. If you go to, on the page, there's a button that says share. And if you go to the first thing down, it says invite friends. And that's right there. That's where you can invite your friends personally. And then right below that, there's also a share event in newsfeed option. And that's where you would then, you know, like, again, I would love the graphics to be a little more honed in before we all do this. But then we can all share the event to our pages and encourage people to join and all that. But because events are kind of like old news now, people are used to them. Like, 5 years ago when we'd post an event, like, thousands of people would join automatically. You know, it's like, wow, magic. But now they're kind of like, you get invited to a million events a day, you know. And so it really has to be an internal effort to really pump up that presence.
Plus, they've limited the invites because they want you to spend more on advertising the event and marketing the event with dollars.
Which works,
so
by the way.
Yeah, so here's a quick question. This might be more for Dan or for, I don't know, maybe Aaron, but I know Dan and Mike, you mentioned you're working on some Juggling Legend graphics for the t-shirts. Are you going to use those to promote the festival, or what's going on with kind of like, I guess, the digital graphics?
Well,
for the
I think, unfortunately, what I've been holding off on is this idea that I have two special guests that I haven't been able to confirm, and they're sort of part of my graphical design, you know, for the festival. So I was kind of pushing it off until I could confirm them. One's supposed to confirm February. So I sort of had left the graphics up on the festival website and hadn't really put much effort in that area currently, because I was told that the official advertising wasn't like till March, like when we sent out the registration. So I have not put much effort into the graphics on the site. I don't know if there's a time frame that you want me to do that. I'd be glad to, if I can't get the sort of images I want or get the confirmation, I could come up with something else. If there's a time frame you want me to do that by?
I would recommend the sooner the better. Like, usually
okay.
I like to start promoting a graphic in December, and so we're a little behind the ball there. And mainly that could be like a postcard that we can then send to festivals. Like, you know, there's a bunch happening coming up pretty soon, Austin, and all right.
I got
coming
you.
Up
okay, so I didn't realize the time frame was pushed like that, because I was waiting for these other things. So why don't I design something else with my designer?
And also, this is Louie. I'm also on the board and doing graphics. We've talked a little bit in the past about it. If you want to shoot me some emails and we'll go back and forth, and there's other artists you want to bring in, I can assemble it together into a postcard and into a graphic and get that sent to Vistaprint and handle that side of things if you have other artists in mind. But I can start to help you tie up some of that and create pieces you find.
Thank you. That has sort of dropped through the cracks in my thinking, so I appreciate you picking up the slack.
We can get on that, too. Yep.
And if you could CC me on that stuff, I'd love that.
I'd love to be
in the loop on the design process. That'd be awesome. Cool. Yeah, and I think, like, Dan, again, it's like, if you have one I need, that's awesome. But what's cool is having multiple different promo options throughout the period. And so, like, last year, for example, you know, I had one general theme and style, but I worked with a designer who made several different graphics within that theme and style. So there was one promoting the competitions. There was one promoting the different performers, you know, where it would highlight each individual performer. There was one general one. So I think, you know, if you have a basic design concept, that one that you have where you're waiting on those performers can be used if we stay with that overall concept. But it could just be one of the mix of many.
I'll talk about this with Louis, and I'll figure out all the things I need to have. Because I'm not exactly sure exactly. Like, you're talking about a lot of things with me. And I kind of feel as if, okay, the marketing also has been sort of pushed off on me a little bit. I know I've not done as much with this as I can, but
mm-hmm.
I've done a tremendous amount. And I'm like, oh, I have to do all the marketing too? I mean, I know we've talked about, I didn't realize, that, like I say, that the design... That people are waiting for me to come up with these designs. I guess I didn't realize the time frame. I thought, oh, I didn't have to do these until March. So I need to know, like, specifically, we need this by this time for me to be able to prioritize what I'm working on, if I'm going to be doing all these responsibilities.
Great.
Right.
Well,
I'll help you with that, and we'll email around with that. And I'm happy to help with the marketing. The last we talked, you had a design concept, and we're kind of going to roll
it's just,
back,
like I say, just
right?
The time. I was just confused on the time frame. I'd be glad to do whatever you need me to do, but I didn't realize that I needed to do it at this period. So it's my fault for not sort of understanding that, oh, I thought this was supposed to be updated here, so maybe you and I didn't need to discuss more when you need these things and exactly what you need each period. I'd be glad to do that.
Because, that's why, I was talking to designers back in, like, September to try to get the ball rolling and stuff. So I just think the sooner we can have graphics going.
I guess I was focusing on the budget and on the special guests and all
those
things.
Exactly. You've got lots of stuff.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No harm. I still think we're in good shape. You know, we're not in a bad place or anything. It's just something to keep in mind. Yeah. So we're good. We're good, guys.
Okay.
This is a good conversation. So, you can connect with Louis and Aaron, and we're in good shape. So I'd like to kind of move along here. We're running a little behind, and we still have a number of motions on the agenda. So Aaron Stevens, give us a quick update on IRC.
Okay. IRC, we have two motions down below for IRC Central America and IRC Mexico. There's two super awesome groups that want to host these. One is Jorge Vilchis, who is our Mexico representative and also an IRC rep for the IRC. IJA rep for the IRCs, hosting Mexico, and then a group for World Juggling Day hosting in Ecuador for South America. And, like I said earlier, we're moving into promotion stage for the ones in Israel and wherever, Central America, Guatemala. So that's good. There were a couple things I outlined in my report that are a little more extensive, but I'll try to keep it quick. One thing that's come up, and I don't know how I feel about this quite yet, but I think it's just a good thing for the board to think about because it's something that's been discussed off and on throughout the years and just an interesting concept to think about, is Jorge Vilchis has proposed the idea of hosting a trial run of doing a separate female and male IRC competition. And basically the prize budget would be split in between. And the reason this came up is he and I have talked extensively about, just the dynamics. Like, I'm organizing these IRCs, and me being a big go-girl jugglers person have been saddened by the fact that, you know, we had three competitors out of 50-plus that were females this past year. And this is a pretty common trend with the IJ competitions, which you've noted at our festival as well. And part of that's because there's less girls in general, but I've talked to a lot of girls around the world about this, and a lot of them have said that they would be much more open and much more excited about competing if there was a separate female category or division. And the Japanese Juggling Federation just did this recent, in this last year. They had a separate female category, and I watched it, and there were a whole bunch of cool ladies represented in it. Whereas in past years, it had been primarily men as well. And so I'm just interested in hearing people on the board's thoughts behind this. I know it's kind of a big can of worms to open, and we're short on time, but if anyone has any immediate thoughts, I'd be interested in hearing.
I'd like to see it. I think it's fine. I think if it encourages more women to juggle, and if, like you said, if it seems to be successful other places, and you saw firsthand that before they had the women's division, there weren't as many females taking part, I think it's a good idea. I mean, if the women taking part don't feel as dismissive that, I feel that men and women can compete equally with juggling against each other physically, but if, I think the whole idea is to encourage participation. And if that seems to encourage participation, I'm not on the board, but I'd be for it.
Awesome. Yeah, and
I'm for that. Encouraging the participation is that main thing. The idea that more lady jugglers would come out and be involved because they feel they're competing like they have a space or something. Like, you know, and maybe eventually things merge back together, but getting them out there and creating a space for them to feel they're competing comfortably in is a great idea.
I'd like to see another female award of excellence winner, and I've proposed one to the awards committee. I think that would be a nice thing for female jugglers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's the big thing. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just saying, I'm not opposed to it on the IRC. I think if we were to IJA main festival, we'd have to think about that, but certainly for the IRCs, I'm fully behind that.
Oh, no, I mean, we can't do that this year. I would maybe pull the membership or see how people felt, but I'd love to see what kind of experience they have at these IRCs and what the actual experience is. But we can't obviously do it this year or something like that. But
a good trial ground, like, you know, Mexico has a lot of female jugglers, but they only had one competitor this last year, for example. There's only been one female medalist in the entire history, I think, or same person twice. No, that's not true. Gold medalist, one female gold medalist in 13 IRCs. And so that's where I think it would be a good trial ground, you know, to see how it goes and see how it's received. Because I know there's been a lot of, you know, a lot of people like, oh, but that's, you know, ostracizing the girls, are saying that they're less than. And for me, as a female juggler who's really tried to push the limits myself, I feel like it's more of an opportunity for more females to inspire more females of the future. And without girls in the competition, other girls don't think it's a possibility. They don't push themselves to enter. And so by having that space where more girls are out there showing what we're doing, I think that's going to encourage progression much more rapidly and more interest in competition from females as a whole.
I say bravo, Aaron Stevens, personally.
All right.
I think it's great.
All right, any final thoughts, board members? Okay, anything else you'd like to add to IRC, Aaron?
There was one other section, and again, this is kind of a can of worms, but Nathan told me to talk about it here. So just going back to... If you all, I don't know who all was on the call when I talked about the bus accident that happened in Colombia right after the IRC happened there, where four of the IRC competitors were in this bus crash, and a young woman lost her life, and a whole bunch of people had broken bones, and it was really, really traumatic and intense. So I've been following the progression of this. One of our competitors, Emerson from Brazil, he was actually a special guest for their convention, and he tore a ligament incredibly badly in his knee, and he was in the hospital for a month and has now been in Colombia for 2 months total, healing enough so that he could fly home. He has incredibly high hospital bills right now, and the hosting festival in Colombia has paid over $10,000 towards what happened with this accident. And so now they're trying to figure out how to get him home. And it's like an $800 plane ticket to get him home to Brazil. And this last week they reached out to me and asked if there was any way that IJA would be at all able to contribute towards that. And so I brought it up to Nathan, and I don't know, I told them, I was like, it's not like Skype is rolling in money by any means, but I'll bring it up to the board and see what people think. And I myself and my husband are willing to contribute $250 towards this. And my thought was maybe that they could talk about potentially either matching or putting a contribution. But anyhow.
Do they have a PayPal account, Aaron?
Can I PayPal the money? No, but they have a bank. Like, we can do Western Union, we've figured out how to do now. It's pretty simple. They don't have PayPal in South America in general.
You put up $250, I'll put up the rest.
Yeah?
Yeah, this is Louie. I'll put up at least $100 towards that. I mean, if you want to break that down, so I'll help out with that.
All right, so $350, and what's
I'll put it at $100. This is Scott. I'll put it at $100.
Okay. Good. I'm getting less and less.
Nathan Wakefield committing $100 as well. Nathan, $100.
All right.
You guys are going to make me cry.
So $350, I'll put in $250. How about that? That brings us up to $850.
Yeah, who else was in there? I missed somebody. I'm writing it down.
Nathan and Scott.
Well, Aaron said she'd put $250, so $350, $350, $450, and I'll put in $250. So that brings it up to $800.
All right.
Done.
We're there, guys. Thank you much.
That's the best way to transfer it.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe each of us can pay the IJA through PayPal directly, and then the IJA could send one check through Western Union.
No problem. So what's the IJA?
Send an email to all of us.
Yeah, I'll send an email. Thank you guys so much. That's incredible.
Surrender assistance. Good job, everybody. I'm proud of you.
Me too. Oh, my goodness.
All right. Good stuff, guys. I think that buttoned up really, really nice. Moving on to motions for consideration. Motion A, the motion to approve the revised 2017 IJA Festival budget. Would somebody like to make this motion?
This is Louie. I'll make the motion.
Wow. Snappy. All right. Louie made the motion. Scott seconded. Moving on to discussion.
Anyone have any problems?
We can go through the points if you're looking at the budget in front of us. If there's any questions, I think our income as far as the registration at 355 is a reasonable pre-registration number, and our total on-site is 50 extras. So we're thinking about 400 is sort of the number we're looking at.
I do think we're going to have more than normal this year. I've heard a lot of people that haven't been in many years that have talked about coming. I think the location will help, the 70th help. If we get some of the people I think that we might get as performers, it should draw well.
Yeah, I think we're trying to keep it very conservative with the numbers. But I think once the features come out and the extra benefits they can have this year, I would hope that we can at least bump up that many. I mean, if not, once again, it's sort of like what can I do to attract people if everything I'm doing isn't attracting people? Because I'm creating a lot of extra revenue, and I've already bought $3,000 in outside of the IJA to try to bump up the budget to bring in more acts. So I'm not sure what I can do to convince more. What I'm really focusing on is trying to sell tickets to the public, because I think that's sort of a more unlimited number as far as we have, you know, thousands of tickets to try to sell. And a pretty good area in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, where it's a pretty good kind of fit, the type of show we're putting on. But I don't know how I can market to the jugglers within, like, sort of an 8-hour driving range, what more I can offer to try to up those numbers.
Well,
we have to think
flow,
at least in 350 or 400.
I think the flow community could really help.
Well, I remember seeing at 2 flow festivals this year, fire drums and mops. So I definitely going to use those as promotional opportunities. I think we'll get some flow. I think, once again, that would kind of be a sort of a growing type process. Unless we're bringing in a very good hooper who has a good following in the Midwest area, But I don't know if she can bring in more than maybe a dozen people to sort of the hoop community. I think it will take a while for the flow kind of community to catch on and really for that to bump up our numbers. But I think the number we're shooting at is pretty reasonable. This sort of idea of producing that much income through registration is a good solid number.
Yeah, I think this revised budget is a lot better. It makes sense to me. So I personally am good with this. The one thing I would like to see, Dan, is you and Mike, or however you're managing this, is kind of have like an updated budget each month, just so we can kind of see where we're at and kind of just put that into your festival report, just as the numbers come up, you know, so we have like how things have changed month to month. Just, you know, I think that would be really good way to kind of follow this.
I'm going
to
update the budget in real time once, anytime we spend anything or find out about any revenue.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, Mike. The one thing, though, I would like to, is if we could have like a record of where it was each month, so it's not just a Google Doc of, you know, where we can't go back and see historically where it was 2 months ago, if that makes sense. Like maybe have like a printed version each month as well as the living version. Does that make sense, Mike? Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
cool.
But after it's approved, I'm not going to change the budget columns. I'm only going to insert the actual columns. You know what I'm saying? If this budget is approved tonight, we'll just freeze all of the columns that say budget, and all we'll do from then on is insert actuals.
Yeah.
Right. But what about if there was a completely unexpected like expense that was unavoidable? You'd add that in, though, correct?
That'll go under contingency with a note next to it.
Okay. Okay, as long as that's accounted for, I'm okay with that. Okay. Any more questions, comments? All right, guys, moving to a vote. Does anybody oppose the approval of the 2017 IJ Festival budget? Would anyone like to abstain? Budget unanimously approved. Great work, Dan and Mike.
Yeah.
Thanks for all your input and feedback, especially Martin. Are you still there, Martin? I guess he left.
So
it's good
here.
To have no, I appreciate all the feedback, and I'm glad we were able to, you know, to take that into consideration and put this into a forum that you all approve.
All right, good stuff. You guys are welcome to stay on, but you don't have to. I believe the remaining motions don't really relate to the festival, so up to you.
I say we reimburse Scott and David Kane. Okay. All right, thank you so much. I'm going
Thanks,
through these.
Dan.
And I'll reach out to Aaron and Louis privately, and we'll talk about the marketing.
Great. Perfect.
Perfect. And I'll reach out to Unimed, so, yeah, or Iwi, I'm sorry.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, Iwi. All right.
Okay,
great.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Yep. Bye. All right. Ocean B, to authorize up to $350 for reimbursement to Scott Kane and or David Kane for professional digitization of juggling films to be used either in e-juggle articles or at the IJA Festival. And then I've attached the proposal there. Would someone like to make this motion?
Ian here, I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Ian. Do we have a second?
Louis, I'll second.
All right. Thank you, Louis. I was curious if Scott was going to second or make the motion, and I was going to reprimand him for a conflict of interest.
No, right. No, that's why I did.
Oh, goodness. All right, discussion. Anything you want to say about this, Scott? Give the other board members a little bit of a quick background if they're not familiar.
Yeah, well, when David and I purchased the Paul Bachman collection, it had several tubs of 8mm, 16mm. Sorry, 16mm, 8mm, and Super 8 films, of which we were able to get a projector and watch a number of them before the projector broke. Included in that is 75 minutes from the very first IJA Festival, IJA number one, convention number one, as well as some other videos that had never been online. Francis Brum,
Roddy Brun, Serge Flash, Gildova, Trixie, a number of different things. So what we'd like to do is to have those professionally digitized, transferred to DVD. We would put those online and either use them in future e-juggle articles or part of the... as part of the history night at the IJ Fest or in the History Lounge. We think we have probably more than $350 worth to do, but that would be a good start to see where we're at.
Beautiful. Yeah, I think it's great that you guys are not only doing this, but doing it with the IJA in mind. I think that's phenomenal. Pretty straightforward as well, I think. Any questions, comments, concerns?
Okay. How much is in the archive budget?
How much? You'd have to check with Dennis. Last I checked, the archives was a little, I believe that's in Vanguard, so we're kind of offsetting
right.
The funds. But it's I want to say low five figures, maybe.
Okay, so $350 is not a big deal out of that.
Well, generally speaking, no. All right.
Isn't it something around 20,000, 20,
yeah,
25,000?
That sounds about right to me, Martin, 20,000, I think. All right, moving to a vote. Does anybody oppose this motion? Would anyone like to abstain?
I should abstain.
Technically, yes, that would be wise, Scott. Thank you. Scott Kane abstains from the motion. All right. No other opposed. No opposed. No other abstentions. Motion passes. Yeah, Scott, just either send the receipts to Dennis and CC me, or send them directly to me, and I'll see about getting those reimbursements. So yeah, looking forward to seeing the footage.
But we will have this come out in the archives fund as far as budget and everything later. Do we need to send a note to Afton too when that happens, or Dennis, right? Just to make sure they're in the loop.
Just when it happens, we'll just say, write a check to Scott for reimbursement. This is to come out of this fund. That way they know how to shift the money. It'd probably go to Dennis. He has a little more control over that.
Okay, great.
Cool. Motion C, motion to approve IRC South America 2017 to be held at the Quito World Juggling Day Celebration, June 16th through 18th, including a $300 budget contribution from the IJA General Fund. Would someone like to make this motion?
This is Scott, I will.
Thank you, Scott. Back to motion-making mode, I see. Do we have a second?
Ian here. I'll second the motion.
Beautiful, Ian. Thank you. Moving to discussion. Is Aaron Stevens still on the call?
I'm here.
All right, Aaron Stevens. I think it's pretty straightforward, but is there anything you'd like to say about this?
Just that I'm excited by these organizers that we'd be working with. I've been watching them organize World Juggling Day for the last 2 years. It's been a super huge and successful event, and Jorge Vilches went last year and told me the space is really professional, the theater is really fabulous, and so I'm excited that they reached out to us to host IRC South America this year.
Sounds good. Any other discussion? Moving to a vote. Does anybody oppose the approval of this motion? Would anyone like to abstain? Motion passes. Yay, IRC. All right. Moving right along, the next motion. Motion D, motion to approve IRC Mexico 2017 to be organized by Jorge Vilches in Toluca, Mexico, June 29th through July 2nd, including a $300 budget contribution from the IJA General Fund. Would someone like to make this motion?
Louis, I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Louis. Do we have a second?
Ian here. I'll second the motion.
Beautiful, Ian. Thank you. Moving to discussion.
I'll discuss. It's my favorite team's birthday today, and if you guys vote yes, you'll make him the happiest person ever.
Oh, man, it's his birthday? That guy's hook shots are sick.
Birthday, and he was all, if I can announce something to IRC on my birthday, it would be the best birthday ever. And I was like, well, it just so happens the vote is that night. So that's pretty cool. And again, just really, he's organized two events in Toluca so far, and they've both been really well attended and really well organized. And he's got the entire city behind him. They've already gotten funding to cover all the prize money matching and publicity and video coverage and all the things. So I think it's a great partnership.
All right. Sounds good to me. Any questions, comments, board? Moving to a vote. Does anybody oppose the approval of this motion? Would anyone like to abstain? Happy birthday to you, Mr. Vilchev. Motion passes.
Yay! Thanks, guys.
All right, good stuff. Okay, moving on to Motion E, motion to approve the following championships rule changes for 2017. Would someone like to make this motion?
Ian here, I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Ian. Do we have a second?
This is Louis. I'll second. Can somebody else jump in on a quick typing my computer? Hold on, I'm back. Sorry.
All right. I'm sorry. Did we get a second on that? No, we did not. Does anyone like the second?
This is Scott. I'll second.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. Okay, moving to discussion. This has been on the agenda for a couple days. I'm hoping you guys had a chance to look at it. If not, please take a second to look at it. It's pretty extensive. However, most of the changes that are proposed are pretty academic, really. There's nothing radical in here. It's just basically cleaning up some of the verbiage, as well as there's something in there about, you know, having the music be a little more family-friendly. This is particularly in response to Jungleissimo, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that act.
Yeah.
But, then just basically updating a lot of things. So that's kind of where this is.
This is Scott. I have not had a chance to see it, and I'm on the road right now, so I don't even have a computer in front of me. But substantive, there's nothing super substantive about it?
No.
All right, great.
Other board members, have you had a chance to look at it?
Yes, I haven't gone word for word, but I have bounced through it a couple of times now.
Yeah, and it's really easy to look at the changes because they're all highlighted.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just want to scroll through, make sure everything makes sense to you. I'll wait on this a few minutes because I don't want to move to a vote unless you at least understand.
Okay, I'm checking through it now.
Okay, mm-hmm. So I'll...
Me too.
Get this. Yeah, while you're doing that, just feel free to read through. I'm just going to continue to talk so we don't have any awkward silences on the recording, because that'd just be weird.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that Vivica mentioned, and I told her that this would not be a problem, is, you know, she makes a point to say that she would like there to be a section on the championships page that is just strictly details pertinent to that year, and she's like, you know, for future editing, we'd like to be able to have permission to edit this page. And I said, well, that's kind of one of the goals when we get the new website up, is to have program directors be able to kind of micromanage their own page. So I said, you know, as long as you're just updating yearly information, you know, that would be fine. So once the website gets settled up, that'll be A-okay. General rule for board members. Cleaning up words, updating year-to-year stuff is fine, but if there's any changes in policy, rules, or changing wording to the point where it imply a different way of going about things, that would require board approval. But that's kind of where we are with this. And as you can see, mainly just basic procedural stuff. They updated
there
how
is
things.
One thing in here where it says invited guests of the festival, including anyone receiving a complimentary festival admission package. Performance or teaching fee and or reimbursement for travel or housing are not permitted to compete in the festival. That doesn't mean that, what if we give a festival package to somebody competing? We never do that. That doesn't happen.
So that's
like,
kind of an
somebody. We helped somebody from one of the IRCs come in who were competing, and we part of them winning that was giving them a festival package.
That's actually a very good point, Louis. What page
that was
is this
talked
on?
About at some
I remember
point.
Reading this, but I want to reread
it. I think the reason why it was probably created was because it had come up last year with Emil Dahl that we were covering his flight. He was going to be a social justice performer, all this stuff, and then he entered a submission to compete. Nowhere is it outlined that he could not do that, but we, the directors of the festival, decided that that was not fair to other competitors that were raising all their money to come, you know, that this person was being thrown in and then was going to be able to compete. So I'm guessing that's where this came from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't quite find the page number on here.
I found it.
Okay.
I remember Pavel tried to do that in 2014 as well, and I think Matt Hall told him no. So
right.
To me, this makes sense, but I think the kind of crux of this is on page 7, by the way, is the way it's worded is it says invited guests of the festival, including anyone receiving a complimentary festival admission package, a performance or a teaching fee, and reimbursement for travel housing are not permitted to compete in the festival. So I think the issue here could be, you know, if somebody wins a festival package or if an international competitor, you know, is given a festival package for winning an IRC or whatever, as it's worded now, they would not be able to compete.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of that would also be anyone who, like, wins a package from the video tutorial contest, for example, gets
exactly.
a festival ticket or any type of prize that we give away or anything.
Yeah, I think that's a mistake.
Okay.
Agreed.
Yeah, I'm on the same page. Very good eye, Louis. I read that part, but I didn't, I guess, think about that full scope. I was thinking exclusively special guests, which I agree with, but, you know, there's a lot of details here, and we need to really spell out those details. So,
yeah.
I mean, do you guys want to try to amend this in some way, or do we want to vote this down and vote on it next month with that part adjusted? What do you think?
Well, since it's their document, I don't think they'll be opposed to the reason that we either don't vote on it or vote it down, because I think that they meant the same thing we're meaning. But I would rather us not amend it, let them amend it, since they've been the one changing the language in the first place, just to take into consideration that, because I agree, we don't, you know, if we pay for someone to be a special guest, we don't want them to compete. But we do want
right.
someone to win the IRC or win a prize to be able to compete.
Yeah, I think we're in pretty firm agreement with this. So, yeah, I guess we'll just move to a vote. And if it's not to our satisfaction, we can ask for resubmission next month. Or if there is an immediacy with it, we can have them do a straw poll and, you know, whatever. Okay. Any final thoughts?
I would suggest everybody vote against it if you're going to vote.
Right. All right. Moving to a vote. Someone like to say something?
One more thing. And how will we, do you want to send them a message? Will they read this? How will we get in touch with them to tell them? I put a note in here.
I'll take care of it.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you.
Cool. Moving
instead
to
of your usual, instead of your usual call for those opposed, why don't you call for those in favor?
That's going to be weird, Martin. All right. I'm willing to get a little weird with it. Does anybody... is anybody not opposed to this motion? Does anyone want to abstain? Motion fails due to complete opposition. I'll be in touch with Vivica. I'm fairly confident she'll understand. Great, guys. Moving on to Motion F. Motion to raise the e-juggle budget from $650 a month to $750 a month. Would someone like to make this motion?
Ian here. I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Ian. Do we have a second?
This is Louis. I'll second.
Thank you, Louis. Moving to discussion. So basically, Scott, how do you pronounce his last name?
Seltzer.
I'm so bad with names. I'll just have to remember Elka. All right. Scott Seltzer, he's been getting after me and the board for a long time to raise the e-juggle budget. His reason being is he's really trying to get a lot of premium content from a lot of his contributors. And originally when we started e-juggle back in, I believe it was 2012, it was $750 a month. And then we lowered it, and then we raised it back up, and then he wanted it raised up again. We said no, and now he's requested, since it's a new year, that we again raise it up $100 a month back to where it was originally at $750. Now, unfortunately, the budget isn't completely done at this point, but, you know, doing the math, this would equate to $1,200 a year, or if it instates in February, $1,100 a year. Less from our overall funds. So just basically how you want to equate that, if you think this is worth it. I'm sure you've seen a lot of Scott, the information in his report about what he wants to do with it. He wants to get a lot of high-end contributors and that sort of thing. So what do you guys think? Discussion.
My question is, who are we competing against for this content that we have to raise the amount we're offering to outbid someone else?
So my understanding is it's not so much outbidding, it's just that people set a price and Scott is unable to match that, or he has to save it up for several months because he has his regular contributors.
Well,
so oftentimes,
if these contributors, if we can't afford what they're asking, where else are they going to sell this at these prices? I mean, I don't think there's a huge market for people being paid to write articles about juggling. It's not
a story
for the New Yorker. And so I think if we tell them, look, we'd all like a pay raise, but unless you can figure out how to generate some revenue from the e-zine, we don't have any extra money for this. And we're paying what we're paying, and if you don't want to accept that, that's fine. We'll get somebody else to write articles.
I don't disagree with you, Mike. Yeah, I don't disagree with you, Mike, but I think that the main thing is he's talking about paying people to produce videos that normally wouldn't produce the videos otherwise. People like Wes Peden, Amron Rosenthal, Jay Gilligan, guys have had fairly substantial pay.
Well, we're paying them something. Who else is going to pay them something more?
They just
But the problem is, I do think that's content that people like.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think that those level of people do videos, and the IJ is the person that put it out there.
I don't dispute that, but why do we have to pay them more? Are they going to take that somewhere else and get more?
Well, but it's not more. It's a matter of paying them anything. They're not regular contributors. So
Go ahead.
I say Wes has released videos on his own, but he makes the income off of it.
Well, where's our income to fund all of it?
We assume our income is, you know, sometimes that content has been members only content, so we hope that drives up membership, or it it's part of why people continue to subscribe. We have 1,200 subscribers as opposed to 300 people at the festival.
Will this keep
ratcheting up $100 every couple of years because, you know, in essence, we're being shaken down by contributors? I mean, I don't want to put it in that term, but I'm just wondering, where is the supply and demand? We are the only outlet for some of this material. And if we don't commission these writers and producers to produce this stuff, where else are they going to sell it? I'm not hearing a lot of answers here.
Well, are they going to contribute it at all? Are they going to put it out there at all?
If they don't, then we save the money, and we can give it to somebody else the next month.
Well, you're saying who's going to outbid them, but, I mean, it's not about the bid. It's about, you know, it's about getting awesome content to put out there.
Let's say I'm Wes Peden, and Wes says, hey, I'll make a video for you guys for $250, and we'll say, we're sorry, Wes, we only have $150 this month. And then he doesn't make the video. Then we save $150, and next month if he comes back and says, I can do it for $200, we'll say, yeah, no problem. We've got the $200 this month. But, I mean, I don't see that there's a robust market for this material, and just because people want more doesn't mean we have to pay more. I don't see where there's a competition for the supply of this product.
Okay.
If there were five other juggling magazines or e-zines that were all paying contributors more than we were, then yes, we would have to be competitive in what we're paying. But I'm still waiting for someone to tell me where else this material will go if we don't buy it.
Scott said too, Wes makes his own videos and posts them, and he'll go ahead and do that, and then we'll get no benefit from it. And I will say, too, that his videos have been the most out of anything that we've tried, at least since I've been on the board, as far as getting membership. Wes and Tony's videos have been the most successful at attracting new members. I don't know the exact numbers off the top of my head, but I do know that was what led to the most members coming in.
Wes publishes his videos on his own site after he gets them on our site, right?
It depends on the agreement, sometimes.
Yeah, it depends on the agreement.
So,
the first one, no.
He's not losing out. He's getting paid twice.
Well, he doesn't charge for it afterwards, but yes. He gets reviews.
Louis and Ian, what do you think? Any thoughts?
This is Louis. I'm reading through his budget now, but yeah, the shakedown feel I don't like. I want to make sure Scott's feeling supported into, you know, like, is this our new magazine in a way? Is this what we're now offering people for what they get as part of becoming a member? And I'm looking at the numbers now and looking at more of his report and double checking things. So I haven't been convinced one way or the other, honestly.
We are selling ads, yes, we do sell ads, but we don't sell very many.
Yeah. So I would say to Scott, look, if you want to raise, sell some ads for us. The money's got to come from somewhere. And the e-zine is a cost. It's not a revenue generator.
But outside of the e-zine and the festival, what are we giving membership?
Nothing. And my proposal for years has been that we abandon the membership concept and just produce a festival as a nonprofit association that's not a membership association. But that's a whole other call.
We do have the insurance benefit.
Yeah, I know, but for
a couple dozen performers.
What I'm saying is the e-zine is one of, right now we do have members. And we have membership, and that's one of the only things that we do provide. I mean, I being on staff of e-zine, of e-juggle, I'm not going to vote on this. So. But.
So I mean, if we grant this year, in 2 years it'll be, hey, let's go to 850, and another year it'll be, oh, let's go to 1,000, and now we've had a 50% increase in how much we're spending for something we give away for free, and I just don't see where there is any competition for what we're paying these content producers to write for us. If we didn't pay them, who's going to pay them?
It is a thing for free. It's also, I would say, that E-Double has been significant in a huge turnaround of the reputation of the IJA in extending it to being something that's appreciated and valued internationally now.
Well, it has a strong reputation. That well may be true, Aaron, but it's not reflected in our membership numbers.
Right, and again, that's a whole membership conversation because
I'm not a board member and get a vote, but these are my thoughts as a business manager. It's just because someone comes to you and says they want more money doesn't mean you give them more money. They have to justify it. They have to show some value. And in this situation, I just don't think there is any value to be had by paying more for a product that has no other outlet that I'm aware of. And that's all I'm going to say on it. It's up to the board to decide, but those are my thoughts.
No, those are valid thoughts, Mike. We do appreciate your input. Does anybody else have anything they'd like to say before we go to a vote? I mean, this isn't going to change E-Juggle either way. It's not going to, like, it's going to, like, exist or not. It's just altering the budget slightly. So.
Exactly. We'll have an E-Zine with or without this extra $100 a month. And if there's one article missing every 3 months, who's going to notice or care?
Right. All right, guys. Any final thoughts?
This is Lily. I'd like maybe some more info from Scott, and I'd like personally, I'm going to go back and look at some of the budget and the articles in there and stuff, and some of his things for the last few months just to get more of a handle on it. We have an idea, but maybe we don't know enough information. I think there's something to be done with it, but...
Yeah,
We
could also take Mike's advice and kind of, like, base this off of a meritocracy and say, Scott, if you can demonstrate that this is going to give us revenue and or, you know, you're going to start generating more ad space, then maybe we can possibly revisit this. Or if you want to send a more detailed proposal, we could do it that way. So that is an option.
Great.
All right. Moving to a vote. Does anybody oppose this motion?
Is Louis, I oppose.
All right, Louis. Louis opposes. Would anyone like to abstain?
This is Scott. I'll abstain as a staff member of E-Juggle.
This is Nathan. I'll also abstain due to personal conflict and also being a staff member of E-Juggle. Okay. I take it, Ian, you are for this motion, correct? Pressure's on, Ian.
Yeah, I gotta abstain. I need more information to make a decision.
Okay. Fair enough. That being said, motion fails. We have three abstentions, one opposition, no fours.
And I want to say my opposition is kind of more the upstate opposition because I want more information. I'd like to see more, not a flat out, this is the worst idea I've heard, but I want to work on it.
You're welcome to put that
in
the notes in the discussion.
The extra money, it makes sense. You know, if there's a way to just measure that it's going somewhere, you know, that it's
going
to make a difference. If it doesn't, then, you know.
All right, guys. That was fair, board members. All right. Moving on to Varia, just one item I wanted to touch on real quick. I mentioned this to Dan. Basically, we have a verbal commitment from UNAMED to bring back the 2017 Awesomeness Fund. Yeah. So I've already reached out to the previous Awesomeness Committee people. I've got two verbal commitments of people that would like to continue on. And I was originally going to put out a call in the newsletter to get a few more people, but the people that are already on board have been putting out names and that they're going to do some personal outreach. So I think the plan now is I'm going to get a short list of people. Get a handful of people that are committed to this, and then I'll get a budget from UNAMED, and then we'll vote on this committee probably in a month or two, and hopefully they'll come up with some sweet stuff for us. What do you guys think?
Great. Sounds good.
Yep.
It's going to be a great festival, guys. All right. Any final thoughts on anything? Woo. Moving to February, setting the days. Let's see where we're at. Okay, if we go 2 weeks, that'll put us at February 6th for a vision planning meeting, or we could go to the 13th. Does anyone have a preference of those two dates?
This is Louis. I kind of have a more of a...
Welcome back, Ian. We're just setting the final the dates for the next board meeting.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Go proceed, Louis.
Yeah, it was just, I have a slight preference for the 13th, but it'll be okay either way.
Okay. Well, we could either do vision planning on the 6th or the 13th, and then we could either do the business meeting on the 20th or the 27th.
I would say President's Day is the 20th. Maybe if people are holidaying, it'd be good to...
Oh, yeah. I don't know how you guys feel, but if you want to have the day off to kind of pay tribute to the president, I understand.
I will be working that day.
Couldn't resist. All right.
Guys, I'm in Washington, D.C. right now for work, and I can see the White House out my hotel window.
Oh, man. Lucky you. I bet there's all sorts of fun stuff going on in D.C. these days.
I arrived this morning, so I missed the fun.
Oh, my gosh. I can't imagine. I can only imagine.
I have to walk by the White House to go from my hotel to my work.
Be safe, Scott. Be safe there, buddy.
I think you could take a stick and run it along the fence.
Yeah, I don't think you can do that anymore.
Yeah.
All right, so you guys want to do for the business meeting, you guys want to do the 27th then, in light of President's Day?
Yeah, I think so,
okay.
Yep.
So let's do the 13th for the vision planning meeting and the 27th for the board meeting. Sound good?
Great.
Yeah. Sounds great.
Okay, let me put this down on my calendar here. 13th and 27th. Cool, guys. All right, moving on to adjournment. Would someone like to make a motion to adjourn?
Scott, I do.
All right, Scott, thank you very much. Moving to discussion. This meeting ran a little longer than normal, but I appreciate you guys sticking it out. We got a lot done, a lot of positive discussion. Thank you for your time. Any final thoughts? Moving to a vote. My pleasure, guys. Thanks for being there. Moving to a vote, does anybody oppose adjournment? Would anyone like to abstain? Meeting is adjourned at 9:46 p.m. Eastern Time. Thanks, everybody. Good night.